All righty, the recording has begun. Thank you everyone for being here. We have such a good group. It is awesome. Welcome to LH1 Live for the November session. My name is Jessica Loomer. I am one of the hosts for LH1 Live. Andy Marks had a conflict today and is not able to join us, so I am flying solo. Just to kind of kick us off for November, we're doing things a little bit different, going outside the box a little bit. It's a little different than normal. I will be mute or not muting anyone. So if you're in kind of maybe the kitchen or a louder area, you can *6 to mute yourself, and *6 to unmute yourself if you are on your phone. But if I start to hear a little bit of background noise from you, I will probably mute you. But please know we do want to hear from you. So unmute yourself when you do have the opportunity to be in a quieter space. Without further ado, a couple things on LH1 Live just for housekeeping. If you do want to kind of jump into the conversation, today's call will be more conversational. So highly encourage you to kind of jump in, ask questions, share your thoughts and stories. I think that's really important. It's going to make this conversation fantastic. We have such a good group. But as note, because it is a larger group, we do kind of there's a couple things we want to steer clear of. We are not medical experts. So anything to kind of stay away from that conversation is really recommended. There's many conversations that can be had otherwise on medical questions or clinical trials, things like that. This is just not the space for it. So if we can kind of steer clear of those questions and conversations. Other things is, you know, we're not employment lawyers, anything like that. So any sort of those sort of questions would be also. But beyond that, there's so much more for us to cover and really be able to kind of support each other in, especially in our LH1 journey. So please take this conversation and let's help support and help each other. So please jump into a quiet space, unmute yourself and jump right in. So this format is a little bit different. We're going rogue, and I wanted to really kind of open up the floor to everybody. You know, Thanksgiving and November are kind of, just as the holidays approach, are really kind of special months for us. There's just been a lot going on, especially in our world with COVID and isolation and things like that. And then obviously we're all kind of in different stages within our LH1 journey. And I just like, especially as we kind of near the holidays, to take a couple minutes and take a step back and really kind of reflect, and especially on the things that what are most valuable to us. And for me, this is something that's important to support. Especially we have so many different people newly affected within our community, but also people that are, 2 years in, and COVID has been such a weird experience, especially with interactions and things like that. And then LH1 just kind of makes it a little bit more weird. So wanted to kind of take this time that my biggest question today is, what is one thing that you have shared of that you can share that you've learned of LH1 that would help somebody else? And that's kind of my big question that I want to be able to pass to all of you, to kind of jump in and share a story of something that you found that's been super helpful, whether it's been a person, a story that you can share of something and how someone made an impact in your life and how it's been helpful, or maybe it's a tip or trick that has literally saved you hours and you're like, gosh, I wish I could share this with every LH1 person. Know that we are recorded right now. So just kind of be aware of that. And especially the tips and tricks and stories that you do want to share. Eventually we will kind of move to a non-recorded session where I think if you feel more comfortable to either ask your question or share your story in a non-recorded session, that's great. But want to make sure that, even 2 years in, 5 years in, 10 years in, if you have a question and you're like, hey, what about this? Or you have a story to share, this is kind of the perfect time. I'll kick it off and share mine. And mine's actually, I don't even know if it's LH1 related, but it's been a trick that's really kind of helped me. When I first lost vision, which is almost 10 years ago, which is crazy to think about, there was a lot of things that I struggled with. And one of them was organization. I'm extremely organized now, but when you're first losing vision, you might not be super organized just because you don't sometimes have to be. And especially after losing vision and keeping things in one spot is super helpful. I will often, if you have been on calls before, you'll hear stories that I have a puppy and he moves things all the time on me now, which is fun. But one of the things that I found is super helpful is a wreath hanger, you know, like that you would put in your front door. Wreath hangers are thin enough and cheap enough. So I've found anyone from like 75 cents to about 250, but also thin enough that you can throw them on doors and it won't bang up your door on either side, wherever you kind of put that. So I now have wreath hangers on all of my doors. The one that goes on the outside to outside my house, to all of my bedroom doors, and the door going to the garage. And I hang everything from the dog leash to purses or bags or anything that I kind of need off the ground. And so I don't have a puppy going into it, but also off the ground so I can kind of always have a spot for it. So I feel like I was always looking for a leash, or I was always looking for my purse, or always looking for my cane. And eventually I started kind of pulling these things off the floor and kind of taking them out of cupboards or cubbies. And it's just like a really great cheap fix for something that really kind of helps a lot with organization. Yeah. So that's kind of been my, in the last 3 months, my discovery. So great that I actually sent 5 wreath hangers to my mom and said, like, when you move to your new house, this will kind of help you. And it's just kind of, you know, tidies up and it helps kind of pick things up. And it's great in bedrooms. I have my, in my bedroom, I have my purse and my backpack on mine, and it works great just because it's helpful to kind of keep things out of the way. Would be great for kids to kind of, so they always have a spot. But you know, organization for us with LHON is obviously key. And if everything can stay in one spot, it keeps things super easy. So that's kind of my share. But yeah, this is, I want to open it up. So jump in and share your idea as well.
I have an idea.
Yeah, great. Jump in.
Okay. Just recently, I started using weigh-around tags. And I have 17 photo albums that I've developed over the years. And I always had them labeled by number and the time period that they covered. And it frustrated me that I you know, couldn't find the ones that I wanted, or I couldn't read them, the labels. I couldn't even use my phone to read them because they had faded so much. And then I started using the weigh-around tags. And I don't know if anyone is familiar with them, but they have tags, clips, and stickers. And I had ordered them a couple of years ago, actually, and then didn't get motivated enough to do it. And so I pulled out the stickers and found how easy it was to do it. And you just really bring up the app and it just kind of walks you through it. You put in what you want it to say. You can dictate it or type it. And then you tell it to write it and hold it to the tag, hold your phone to the tag, and it'll beep and vibrate when it's done and tell you that there's success. And so I made a sticker for every single photo album. And now, even if nobody else can read them, I can read them. And I also have a desk drawer with files, and I had made huge, big labels so that I could file everything for, you know, whatever, taxes. And anyway, I had all these files, but I found it really difficult still to read them, even though the print was, you know, huge, just because of the lighting wasn't very good there. So I started putting Waytag stickers on them too. And again, other people may not be able to read them, but I will be able to. So I'm kind of excited about that.
That is super cool. So how do you scan it again, with your phone?
Yeah, the WayRun app is free and you just download it. And then when you open it up, you tell it to create. You want to create a tag. They're all called tags, even though some of them are stickers or clips, but you want to create. And then a screen pops up asking what you want it to say. So that's where you type or dictate. And then when you're done filling in the information you want, you just tap on write. And that's when it writes that data to the sticker. And then when you want to read it, you have the same screen and you just tap read. And it just, if you got VoiceOver on, it just reads it out loud.
Oh my gosh, that sounds awesome. I think that would be perfect for, I have a lot of spices and I cook a ton, and it is drives me bananas trying to dig for a spice and find it. Yeah. But if I had that, it would make it faster.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, they have ones that are magnetic. You can use them on cans. They have clips that you can use on files or just attach them to anything with a rubber band. It's pretty cool. And there's tutorials on YouTube and on their website, and it's just wayaround.com.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing.
Okay.
Who else has a cool tip, trick, or story?
Hey, Jessica, it's Megan.
Hey, Megan.
Hey, we've talked about this before, but my blue glasses are a lifesaver.
Oh.
You know, anything clear to us, we really do just kind of run into and don't see. So I really do love anything colored in terms of glassware.
Oh, you mean blue, like drinking glasses?
Yes, yes. Not like blue eyeglasses. I
instantly thought blue light glasses, but you're
I know. Yeah. I use those today too, but.
Man, I wish they'd get blue glass at the Apple store.
Right.
Has anybody almost run into the glass when the, you're
yes.
going to...
Yes.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Agreed.
I definitely have. My husband yelled at me, Meg, no.
No, but I'll totally second. I have a bunch of different glasses of different kinds. And it's so funny because I always gravitate to the blue plastic glass. Like, no, if like I'll always see it, but if I knock it over, it's nothing bad. But so that's pretty awesome. Agreed.
Yeah, I have the plastic as well, but I don't know. I like to drink out of glass still, and I don't want to gravitate towards that or against that.
Glasses are nicer to drink out of, that's for sure. But I've banned them. I've broken more than one, and so I don't want them around now. Or I kind of hide them. Yeah.
My mother-in-law actually has a Pyrex blue baking pan, which I thought was really, really cool. And I want to find more, you know, colored glass stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, I love that idea, especially when you put on the Pam cooking spray. I just kind of like spray and hope for the best and know that I put it all over the counter.
But if I know. I just put it in the sink and then just spray.
Yeah. Just go for it. Oh, that's awesome. Thanks, Megan.
Yep.
All right. We got some good veterans on the call. Don't make me call you guys out.
This time I have a question. What do people do like for medicines, like to distinguish the different types? I mean, like rubber bands, or do you put stickers on them, or so what have people found that's helpful?
Stickers would be perfect for them. But mostly, like, I have a little carrying tray that I put all my medications in, and I know where they are. And I know what they feel like and what they sound like. And I do have rubber bands on a couple, but yeah, I've been thinking about the stickers, using them just to be sure, particularly when, like, I've got a renewal and I want to make sure that it's correct. I have on occasion had them give me something that wasn't the correct thing.
This is.
I was going to say something about the prescriptions. I'm sorry. Was somebody else talking?
Sorry, it was Lisa. I was just going to say, there. Sorry, Cindy. There actually is a device that it's called ScriptTalk, and it's an actual reader. So if you go to your pharmacy or wherever you get your medication, they can apply for labels that can go on to your bottles, and then you just put it over top of your ScriptTalk device, and it'll read to you what the medication is.
They also have an app for your phone as well. In other words, they don't really use the device anymore. You can use your phone.
Yeah.
What's the app for your phone called?
What's the phone app?
It's a ScriptTalk. It's for the talking labels for the medicines that the pharmacies put on.
They actually have
it for the iPhones. I'm not sure about Androids, but I know it's for the iPhones for sure. Okay. It's the same kind of
check
system.
Check with your pharmacy.
Not all pharmacies have them. A lot of them do. A lot of the bigger ones do. The other thing is that it kind of works on the same system as that. There's tags that you put on, the way around tags, but a different system. But it actually gives you who the prescription is for, what your medication's name is, and how often you're supposed to take it. Such. So same information you get from the bottle.
Wow.
Helpful, thank you.
They put the labels on the bottom of every bottle.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a mail order, or the pharmacy can do it. And then you can read it from your phone.
Also, another trick that I do with my medication, not that I take very much, is if something that I take on a regular basis, I'll use a black Sharpie and I'll put an X on the top of the bottle, and so I don't have to read what the prescription is every single time, but I'll just put an X on it so I know that's the one I take on a daily basis.
I use Bumthox sometimes, so like if it's a high blood pressure medication, put something like help me remember like a lower, because I want to lower my high blood pressure, or if it's like a pain pill, I'll put like something that would feel like, oh my gosh, this one's pain, or the ones that have a little difficulties in remembering what they may feel or sound like.
That's really smart.
You want to get a little creative.
Another thing I'm with, and I know I'm talking nonstop, sorry, I'll stop after, but Jessica was calling out the veterans, so I guess I have to speak.
Yeah, I was going to call on you.
Key is organization. Like, key. I was organized before I lost my vision, but I would say I'm probably obsessive now. So I try to put everything back in the same spot. The key is to try and train my family to do that. It doesn't work very well, so sometimes it's very frustrating. But if you can train someone that you live with, or if you live alone, try and put things back in the same spot, and it makes your life so much easier. As well as, I also have a whiteboard on the side of my fridge that I use a black felt. So that's my calendar. If anybody ever erases it, I'm in deep trouble, because then they don't know what it says. But, or you can use, I have Alexa, and she can tell me what's on my calendar as well.
Oh, Lisa, I totally agree. If anything in my fridge is out of order, I am livid.
I know. I've been dealing with this for 18 years, and I can't seem to teach my husband or my son, like, can you please put it back? You know, or put your shoes in the closet at the front door so I don't trip over them. It used to be when my dog was little and she was a puppy, she used to just chew everybody's shoes, and so that just became a routine. Well, I've trained all my son's friends. They immediately put the shoes in the closet so that I won't trip over them. But my son still hasn't quite got it. He just leaves them off to the corner. I think he just does that just to drive his mother crazy, but... It's working, though.
Hey, guys. It's Mark Dalmich from Maryland. How's everybody doing?
Hi, Mark.
Amazing. So something that I have now begun to do since losing my vision. So it's not only not remembering where things are, but, you know, maybe So remembering where stuff is, because if I forget what things I even have. So for instance, like in like the closet in my, you know, upstairs in my house, just a bunch of medications, and like I'll forget what I even have in there. So I have to have just a spreadsheet on my computer that's just called like item locations. And so in there I'll have like, you know, like bedroom or like, you know, hallway closet, and then like everything listed that's inside of there, which obviously wouldn't help me if there was a specific medication I needed. Then I have to get my phone out and use like the Magnifier app on there to like look at the different ones to find it. But I wouldn't even have any idea what's like in a lot of different locations within my house. So I just have like a lot of a spreadsheet on my computer that like is notes where all the different, what all the different stuff is like within my house, because you can't just go and like look in the closet and like, you know, recognize what everything is. So I just have it all listed on my computer. It's much easier to keep track of it and read it that way to me.
Wow, that's very organized.
That's awesome.
Yes.
To Mark's point like that, I kind of have a mini pharmacy, not of drugs, but of, of, you know, different soaps and everything that I use on a regular basis, so that, you know, when, you know, when I dwindle down on certain things, it's in a certain closet, like many people have with pasta, but you never think about that with soaps. I think when you're fully sighted, you think like, oh, let me just run out to CVS and grab this. But I definitely have a stock of probably up to four, of everything that I use. May sound silly, but definitely helps.
No, not silly at all. Great idea.
Really,
I'm sorry, I think I missed that. What'd you say?
Oh, was that me? I said it's really a bummer running out of things.
Oh, yes, yeah, totally. Yeah, you do the same thing for like fridge stuff. Like, if it wins, like, how do you know when your milk expires? Like, do you do the same thing?
No, luckily I have my mom that I call and say, hey mom, milk's out. And actually she comes and helps me with groceries once a week. But yeah, other stuff like that with pasta, my pasta line is, you know, through the roof in our pantry. So
oh, I know another thing that was helpful. Using Google to find recipes and read them. I mean the Google home mini thing.
Ooh, that's awesome. And keep them stored. Can you work on the verbosity and so it can read you one step at a time?
Yeah, it does. One step at a time. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
The only thing that's difficult is going back. Like if you've forgotten the the measurement for sugar or whatever, and you want to go back and hear the ingredient list again, it gets kind of messed up. But you can do it, but it kind of confuses the Google. But it's very helpful if you just say, you know, I want a recipe for pumpkin pie. Bingo, how's this one?
What I found out though with Google and stuff is with Google, you can actually go back and see your history of what you searched for. So if you do forget the last step, you can, if you have an iPhone, I think the Android work streams the same way, but you can actually go back and see the whole recipe on your phone using VoiceOver. It works just as well.
You go into the app in order to see the history?
Yeah, Google Assistant. With Google Assistant on your phone matches up with your account for Google, your smart speaker, then it'll actually give you the listing the same way as what you're getting on your speaker, and you can use VoiceOver to go backwards and forwards then.
Mm-hmm. I can't sign into Google right now, so it won't let me in the app. I can't remember my password, and it doesn't like, you know, my backup email, so I don't know, I may never get in again.
I'm not sure the answer to that. The password manager is the best thing for that, but if you, I'm not sure how you, unless you reset your, start off with a new one, but.
Yeah. What's password manager?
Well, password manager, or do you use an iPhone or an Android?
iPhone.
What? Do you use iPhone or Android?
It's an iPhone.
Well, if you use an iPhone, it comes with a password manager. Basically, you can use that one native to it, or you can use LastPass or something like that. But the one that comes with it, you can actually, if you have one of the Face ID ones or the fingerprint IDs, you can actually put your password in storage, and then it would actually recall it for you. If you use VoiceOver, there's a field on top of your keyboard that contains your passwords, and it should say if you use your finger across your VoiceOver keyboard and pull close to the top, it'll say passwords, and then you tap on that. So then if you use your Face ID, it'll scan your face, or if your fingerprint ID, it'll scan your fingerprint, and then it'll list your passwords. So as long as you saved it on Apple's ecosystem, it should be already be there. So your old password for your old account, you might even have it in there and you don't know it. So,
I do save them in the keychain, but I didn't know where
they were.
That's
what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
but passwords. So in other words, if it's a place for your password, first you click on your password entry, your password field, with your finger to select it. Uh-huh. And then you use your finger going up the keyboard. You pull your finger up right in the middle of the keyboard. When it gets close to the top of the keyboard, it'll actually say passwords. And then tap on there, and then it'll scan your face or scan your fingerprint, depending on which kind of phone you have. And then it'll ask you which password you want. If it matches, it'll put it in. And you tap on it again.
That sounds a lot better than the file card system I've set up.
Well, it's probably a lot more secure as well.
Yeah.
Hey, Jessica, I do have to take a step back and say I do have expiration dates with Ira where I get on the line with them and go through my pantry and my fridge and look at expiration dates with them. So that really doesn't take that long, if maybe 15 minutes at the most. To go through, my fridge, freezer, and pantry to make sure that nothing's expired.
Megan, can I ask you a quick question in regards to, do you buy things in bulk ever, the things that can be bought in bulk? I guess, so to speak, does that help you, or that's just what... I saw that on Amazon just over like the past 24 hours. And I thought it would may be a good idea just rather than asking someone once a week. Cause I have to ask people to go out for me. And, we all know how that is. But
is that Karina?
Yes. Hi, Megan.
Hey. yeah, I do. When I can, I do. And people who help me also do, say, hey, can you please, let me know what I could buy more of for you. So I need to think of that mindset as a little bit more as well.
Yeah. I didn't know if you did that. Cause you said you were referring to your soap and everything and how you had, backup and everything. So I had just thought about that literally while shopping on Amazon last night. And it's like, that would be a good idea.
The mouse is nothing green button on it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, and I never thought about, I've always seen the option on Amazon as well to buy the subscriptions. And I don't know if anyone else has had that experience either.
Hmm.
I've got many, many items. I do subscribe and save because you save 15% on each one.
Okay.
Well, if you do five or more, once you do anything under five, you save 5%. Once you do five or more items in a month, you save 15% on all those items.
Okay.
Good to know.
A lot of like cereal and stuff that just comes on a monthly basis.
Huh. Thank you, Mark.
Sure. I buy many, many things on Amazon almost on a daily basis.
It's perfect.
I was like, I'm almost the only Android user in this whole community. I'm waiting on my Pixel 6 to get here right now.
actually have a ton of friends that use Android, so they're with you.
Awesome.
I'll stay strong on my iPhone, but Android's awesome too. go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Hey, Jessica.
No, go ahead, Jessica.
It's Jessica in Georgia, and some helpful tips that I've found very useful, as Lisa and Jessica stated, organization. I don't know. I have like tons and tons of shoes, right? And before I used to just like keep them in my closet, and I don't have the patience for that anymore. So I bought a shoe rack now, and I keep them all organized. I got it at Walmart. It's a lot easier getting ready for the day. And for my jewelry, I used to just keep it in my jewelry box. I bought an earring tree to keep all my earrings on, so that helps me stay organized. As far as if I could tell someone new, newly diagnosed with LHON, a big thing that I found now is that there's audio options on Netflix. So this way, you know, you can still watch TV with your family. A big question I kind of had for everybody on this call is, it's my first holiday season being visually impaired. And I just kind of want to get some ideas on how everyone does their holiday shopping. And what's the best way to go about doing that?
Amazon.
It's pretty much Amazon.
Exactly. Yeah, online.
This is Chris. When it comes to wrapping things, I used to meticulously, I've had this for nine and a half years now. So I used to meticulously, I was just a perfectionist when it came to wrapping a present. I mean, I spent so much time wrapping presents. Well, not anymore. So get yourself gift bags and tissue. And when it comes to wrapping, you just, scotch tape makes me nuts. So I just can't wrap. I mean, I try and wrap up a box every once in a while, but scotch tape just drives me insane. I can pull it off the dispenser, but I can't put it in the right spot. So unless you want to deal with that, you know, go for it. But I can't handle that. It just is like, oh my God, 10 tries and maybe I'll hit it at the right spot. So it's bags for me now and tissue paper. And I would suggest that unless you want to try the gift wrap paper, but wow, that just drove me insane. So I stopped with that. I think that makes your gift giving easier if you eliminate trying to gift wrap. Oh my gosh. I mean, I don't know what everyone else does, but I also bought pretty boxes that I just recycle every year. I give someone a gift. I have these beautiful boxes and I put tissue paper in them and I give them the box and I say, I want the box back. I put, you know, I just do that too, because they're beautiful boxes, but I do not use gift wrapping paper. It's very frustrating. And everyone understands. The most difficult part I have at Christmas is sitting in the room with the family and everyone's opening their presents and they're going, oh, that's so nice. And I have no idea what's going on. And it's like that each year. And each year I remind the family, will you please tell me what's going on? Because they could be just sitting in a chair across the room and I just don't know what's going on. And it's so difficult. And that just never gets easier. And you just have to remind your family or friend, whatever it is, that they have to be more descriptive as to what's taking place, because you won't understand what's going on. And it's you've taken the time to give someone a gift or they're exchanging gifts, and there needs to be more words spoken and more description going on, or you're going to feel totally left out.
I agree, Chris.
That's my advice.
Everything Chris said. I was going to respond to what Jessica from Georgia had asked about. I think as far as shopping, you know, you have to think of the gift, and that's true for even a sighted person. But then sometimes I get stumped with trying to find something online and feeling sure that I'm going to know for sure that it's exactly what I'm wanting. And so I will enlist different family members to help me shop for other family members. You know, like I'll get my sister to help me shop for my husband, or I'll get my husband to help me shop for somebody else, you know. And so if it's that type of thing where it's something where you have real specific thoughts about exactly what you want, you can get a friend or a family member maybe to help you, you know, pick it out.
Mm-hmm. I have a suggestion.
Okay.
Well, I use the Bear app, and I use so many different sites, but I have like where the item is, how much it is, what the, you know, the URL is, you know, where you can get it and all that. So when I make mine, mine is like so precise in every detail that so no one can make a mistake of presence.
Wait, know. What is that app called?
Bear. A Bear Note app.
And can you explain a little bit what it is? Like how does that
well,
work?
Well, it's kind of like it's kind of like the Apple Notes but on steroids. You can really make like you can if you put like I'll just put Henry. Like if Henry is in your notes, you can search Henry and see how many Henrys you have in your list. Or, you know, a picture of a cat. You know, you can do that. If the picture is in your notes, you can figure it out. But I use it mostly. I use it for work sometimes, but mostly I use it for Christmas because it has a JPEG and it has all that. And you can send that to a loved one, you know. And they can see.
May I ask how you spell that name of the app?
Bear,
B-E-A-R. Oh, Bear. Okay. Like the teddy bear.
It's like a red, and it's got a polar. It has a polar bear face on the icon. It's on the App Store, and it's for the Mac and everything. So that's a way of how I organize my stuff when I want things, or if I need to do presentations, if I need to do like. I need to cut the bill, but I need to know where all the money's going. So I may jot down who I'm paying it to, what, you know, it just gives it a nice diagram of everything. And I know where all the money's going. Or presents, you know, I can take JPEG for the internet, put that there, like this is what I want, or this is what this person wants. So.
That sounds super cool.
The holidays.
Hey, Jessica, this is Bob out in California.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, how's it going? Hey, everybody. Hey, so I just had some feedback or experiences, I guess, with regard to the holidays, you know, having things described and such. Totally get that, as everybody else does as well. We also do an annual ornament exchange, and that became difficult when I became affected. And so what I've done is I just sit next to somebody who I trust over experiences, whether it's my wife or a good friend that has done this in the past and knows my condition. And I just sit next to him. That way it's not, you know, I'm not holding everybody else back, and I'll go, you know, what do they have? And he'll say, oh, it's, or he or she will say, describe it. Oh, it's a snowman with a goofy face, blah, blah, blah. And if I have any questions, I just go, so does it have this and that? And, you know, that helps me. And the same, I do the same with opening of gifts as well. You know, just sitting next to somebody instead of having the whole group sit there, because then everybody wonders about, you know, who's going to talk and who knows what to tell them and that sort of thing. As far as the holiday shopping, if I'm doing it alone, which is, you know, not as often, but if I am out doing shopping alone like that, I'm wondering if people have ever tried the Be My Eyes, where it's similar to Ira in that it turns your camera into a, well, it turns your phone into a camera, right, forward facing, and you get connected to a volunteer, and they'll help you pick out the right size. They'll tell you the price and the whole bit. So I've used that before because trying to figure out what size is what is hard, and as well as colors, because not everybody likes blue like us, right? But and they'll do just about anything. I've had them help me find directions back to where I pick up my paratransit bus and that sort of thing before.
And then the other app that has been handy in shopping and stuff is, what is the Microsoft one? Now I just drew a blank. Seeing AI. Oh, yeah. So the Seeing AI not only can read signage and documents and the whole bit, so I use that traveling, but it's also good for products. So if you're shopping for things in the holidays, you can just pick it up and you rotate it until it finds the scan on there, and it tells you, hey, this is a, you know, pink blouse. It doesn't tell you the size or the price, but it tells you what it is. It's been kind of handy. So anyway, hope some of that's helpful.
What was that last one called again? I'm sorry.
Seeing AI. So it's SEEING, capital A, capital I. It's a free app by Microsoft, but it's on both platforms. Pretty handy. And the fun one in the Seeing AI app is you can point it at a person. And so let's say if I'm pointing it at Jessica, it'll describe, there's a brunette lady 3 feet in front of you, and it gives it the approximate age, right? And that's always the fun part. But it won't tell you who it is, but after it describes that, you can click on it and save it, and you can say you can put in whatever name you want for that person. And then every time your phone comes across that person, it'll say, Jessica's 3 feet in front of you, or Jessica's, you know, smiling and looking away, or whatever, I don't know. It's fun to do, especially with...
You have it on environment preview?
No. Environment preview is like landscape. It'll say a picture of, or a view of mountains and a meadow and that sort of thing. That's what the environment stuff is.
Okay, so what do you put it on if you're pointing it at a person and you want a description?
It's for people.
Oh, people, okay.
Yeah. And it's just fun because of the age. Well, it's fun sometimes until it calls you really old, and then it's not fun anymore.
It always tells me I'm in my mid-20s, for the record. Just
that
saying.
That sounds right, Jessica. That sounds right. You had to throw that down, didn't you? Didn't you? Had to get
I did.
It.
I did. Okay.
Anyway, I think I'm 10 years older than I am. So.
No, but too. It is really, those are really useful apps.
Keys.
Okay.
Then
bowl,
because I really need the
balls.
Don't forget.
We do hear you if you're talking about keys. Oh, there you go. Go ahead, Jessica.
So one more question. This made me I think the gift bag is a great idea. So I'll probably do that instead of wrapping this year. But it made me think of one more thing. Gift tags. Any like tricks on those? Because I feel like that's gonna be a little challenging this year. So any ideas on how to do those?
I have a suggestion. I use one of the Starbucks. I use one of the old Starbucks, and I cut it out. So I put it when I do those that from to two, and I put that in there, and I can put my name. I can write my name in it because it keeps me in into the area, so I know exactly where I'm writing. That's what I do.
I don't know.
Or if you're looking for us. Or if you're looking for a certain like chew tag to do a certain tactile. So a certain ribbon for each person. So Grosgrain for somebody, or a glitter for somebody, or a satin for somebody. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. I like that.
I put a ribbon on if I know someone is, their favorite color. I'll put I'll do something. I'll wrap it in a certain way that I know how to distinguish it for each and everybody in my family.
I just get somebody else to write the tags.
Me too. I do some crazy gift wrapping if I'm left to my own, because the gift bag, you know, might be a certain color scheme, and then the tissue that I put with it might not match at all. But people just, you know, they just think it's kind of artistic or whatever.
Yeah, I have a box of gift bags. The problem is I can't tell which ones are Christmas and which are wedding and which are baby ones. Yeah, I guess it doesn't really matter.
If you really want to get creative, one year I gave people their gifts and I wrote everything in Braille. And some people could not figure out who it was from. I'm like, regardless of anything, I just like said, you guys always say I should learn Braille, which I still haven't. But they were like, oh my gosh, you got really a little too creative, Manasseh. I was like, if I want to write to you, now you understand why I use a computer. You guys always ask. And people then, when they found out it was from me, or so this is my name in Braille, I was like, yes. Like, people had a good kick out of it. Like, you know, like, just instead of flipping the coin, you know, like, what's going on? I'm like, here's what it's like. People got a good kick out of that one here.
Mm-hmm. That's super cool.
And the funny thing that happened. Oh, sorry, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, speaking of Braille, I just attended our state National Federation of the Blind convention this past weekend. And there was a speaker who owns a business and it's called Elegant Insights, and everything has Braille on it. Like all these little, it's not just necklaces and that kind of thing, but like charms for your white cane and tags for luggage. And, you know, she has all kinds of stuff that has pretty designs and Braille on it. And it's just kind of a neat way to identify yourself or, you know, support a blind business owner, that type of thing. But I thought it was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was it called?
What? It's called Elegant Insights. And there's an S on the end of Insights. Elegant Insights. She's owned the business for 10 years.
Can't find anything funny, I guess.
Sounds cool.
Another thing kind of taking us... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I had something really funny at work go on with Braille. I disclosed to the architect, I worked for the Dodgers, that I was blind. And she goes in and says, oh, like we should put a sign up in Braille about so people could read it. You know, we want to be inclusive. I was like, well, there'd be a big deal. Like, this is like a small world thing. And it says like hello and all these different languages. She's like, we should put one in Braille. I was like, will people be able to touch it? And apparently, she turned like white as a ghost. It's the most hysterical thing for us. She's like, "Oh no!" Like, you know, it's like there's all these different ways to say hello, and everybody got a good kick out of it. And then I responded, "How many people do you think read Braille?" And she was like, "Oh." I had a lot of funny things at work happen this year about when I disclosed I was blind to people. Like I said, you realize you took, I'm out there with my cane, like you realize you took the instructions from a blind guy and they're like, oh yeah, it was a fun year.
Sounds of interest. Fun Christmas. So obviously like family and games is always kind of a fun thing at Christmas or holiday time. So with the Christmas present thing, we actually kind of make it a game. So each person has to take a turn saying what the next person's getting for a gift. So like the next person's up and like, it's kind of this, like who can kind of top the next person and they get like more detailed and everyone gets super into it because it's like, of course, like we're all competitive. We're just like, oh, this person's getting a da-da-da, like sequins, but like, and you know, like we're all animated and everyone's just kind of all in, and it's super cool because the whole family's in on it. No one's really talking or like oohing and aahing because they're focused on who's gonna like one up the next person on their description of the next gift. And it's a super fun game. And so we've got like my entire family does it. And yeah, I mean, some are definitely better than others, but like, you know, everyone's trying to top the other and it's, then I always know and whatever thing's going on.
That sounds like fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Are there kids involved in it?
Actually, no. We're all old now. The littlest one is 2.5, so soon she'll be in. But other than that, we're all in our 30s and up, all doing this, and we're gaming. But yeah, I mean, games and everything, just to kind of make a spin on it, kind of makes the description a little bit more fun. Mm-hmm. But I also have my family on. They watch all TV shows with audio description, whether I'm home or not. So, you know, I got them into all of the audio description on our like Amazon Fire TV, and I don't live at home. And so whenever I'm not visiting, they still watch it with audio description and talk about how awesome it is.
Yeah, we have audio description set for everything, but not every program is broadcast in audio description, right?
Yeah, that's true. There are some shows that don't have it.
Yeah. I know something that's going to be really helpful. A couple of weeks ago, I attended the virtual CNIB conference, and one of the presentations was by Moneris, and they were talking about their new debit machine. Well, I guess debit or credit card machine, whatever, that is going to talk. And it's just rolling out now, and hopefully other companies that make these things will follow suit. And hopefully companies that use them, businesses, will get them. I think they can trade in their old ones for these accessible ones for no cost, but I'm not certain about that. I can't wait.
Oh, that sounds great. It'll be like, you owe $10. Please enter a card now. Like that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
But I'm not sure how it's going to work. Like it's going to read out your PIN, you know, whatever, when you enter it, I assume, so that you know that you're entering it correctly. And I mean, you're not going to want everybody to hear that. So I don't know if you can just turn down the volume or how that works.
I'd imagine it would mask that. That sounds like, yeah, security issue.
That's really exciting. Yeah. Jessica, something I did want to bring up is my husband works for one of the top consulting firms in the US, and he is on one of the disability panels. And I've been kind of interviewed by a decent amount of industries in terms of things that you would want the visually impaired to have. So I worked with travel, firstly, secondly, medical, and then I do want to work with banking as well. So if there's, you know, anyone that wants to bring anything up, you know, I'd be happy to share that as well.
Can you share with us any things that you did share with them?
Things that are as silly as checking into doctor's appointments. You know, if they can't see my cane, they don't know that I'm visually impaired. You know, where do I put my clothes when I'm in a doctor's appointment? Saying here, there, pointing, things that are quite rude to us that we, other people don't think that are rude. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that checking out how to make it more accessible to us if we don't have certain insurances, et cetera. You know, some people or some doctor's appointments have been able to print out certain things that we can just mail in or they help us along the way. So I've kind of, you know, gone along the lines of directing them and helping them in certain areas, and then travel, don't get me started. So I think we've talked about that a lot, but yeah, if anybody can think of something very obscure that they've dealt with, I'm happy to share it.
That's awesome. Thanks, Megan.
Yeah.
I had a question as far as we're talking about the credit cards and stuff like that. Has anyone, how do you do the Apple Pay when you have to use VoiceOver to listen to your PIN for Apple? Because then you give your PIN away for Apple all the time.
I haven't actually used Apple Pay out in public. And so I don't know.
I use the Face ID on it. So I'll use Face ID for a lot of things, really. And that's how I use Apple Pay. So I'll just like ask where to put my phone for Apple Pay and then recognize it with my face. And works perfect. If you're wearing a mask, it gets
Trying to do it with my Apple Watch, so I guess it doesn't work that with Face ID with the Apple Watch. That's what I've been trying to use.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
I think if you're logged in with your phone, you can. But it seems like you have to put your face like 2 feet away from your phone, which is kind of difficult for us.
I just kind of wave it around and it just gets my face. I tilt it enough that I like kind of keep looking and I just kind of move my face around. And I don't know, maybe I just kind of got lucky every time. Or I've shopped too much, is one of the two. Is Howard on the call? Howard, yes, this is kind of a perfect time. Would you be willing to kind of share a little bit about the MasterCard article that you shared? That's like perfect for the spot.
Sure. So MasterCard is going to make their cards with different kind of notches. One notch shape for debit card, one for credit card, and can't remember what the other one was for. And ironically, when I first lost my vision, I did that to all of my cards. I kind of cut notches, you know. I went to a place that had drill presses and things and put holes and circles on different credit cards so I'd know which was which. But they're going to go forward with that. And also the U.S. government is going to redo their paper money. And what you'll see is on the right side, there'll be different shapes and tactile things to tell you whether it's a $20 bill or a $50 bill or a $5 bill. So it's all tactile, and MasterCard is about to introduce these notches in the cards.
So cool. Canadian, that's huge.
Canadian bills.
They sent me something for this paper money, and you slide your paper money, and it'll tell you what the money denomination is. It's a bill reader.
Mm-hmm. Right, but this will be just touch the money.
Well, that'll even be better. Correct.
And the U.S. is one of the only countries, as most countries in the world have tactile ways of telling which bill is which, mm-hmm. like Canada, for example.
Yeah. Which but I didn't I remember, know before I lost my vision.
Right, but when I first started, I was at the Carroll Center, and I went down to the machine shop and asked them if they could help me use a drill press to make different things in different cards so I'd know which was which.
Resourceful.
Kind of dangerous, though. I have a suggestion, by the way, and that's for reading please. Books. So anyone who is legally blind in the U.S., sorry, Lisa, can register with NLS, the National Library Service. And there's an app called Bard, NLS Bard, which is mobile, or it's on your computer. And you can get free audiobooks of like hundreds of thousands of different choices. So I would recommend that. And if in terms of presents for people who are blind or visually impaired, getting something called a Victor Reader is a great device if you don't want to use your phone for reading books.
And Howard, just to add what you said about the Bard app, you can also download magazines as well to listen to those.
Yep.
If you have a favorite magazine.
Oh, I just thought of another tip or trick. So I have a lot of things that are black in my closet, but every so often I'll go outside of my box and I'll get navy, which is just, you know, crazy. So most of my closet has everything, like one way is all the black hangers. And then I flip the hanger around to the other way, like the opposite hook, for anything navy. So if I'm wearing like a colored dress and I'm looking for a black cardigan to go to work, I go quickly, went to go grab a cardigan, and I go to pull it, and it won't let me pull it off because it's hooked the other way. And I'm like, oop, that's navy. So color coordination, all about organization, but hooking your hangers in different patterns or different ways to kind of identify color.
Oh, cool.
Does anybody use, there's an app I have on my phone, I never use it, but you can point it at things like clothing and it'll tell you what color it is.
Yeah, Cine AI will do that.
Oh, okay, that does it too.
I think the app is called Clothes Color, and it actually, to me, it works better than seeing AI, and it'll even describe patterns. So I think that app is really good for clothes color.
Ooh, I like that it does pattern.
What's it called again?
Clothes Color.
Okay.
In terms of what you guys were talking about for Bard, did you have to get a special device to do that? I had a big hump there.
What was the question?
Did you have to get a special device to get access to Bard?
No, you can do that with an iPhone on the app. There's an app on the iPhone or on the Android phone. Okay. There's a special device called a Victor Stream, which makes it easier but it's not necessary.
All right, I'm trying to think of the device that they sent me, but it is prehistoric and was interesting. So.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It kind of looks like a tape recorder.
Yeah, gigantic buttons.
It comes, they'll send you the little things that you can put in there to play it. And
cartridges.
I mean, when our son was little, you know, he was affected with LHON back in 1999. And so those things were huge and clunky. And he listened to books on through the library that way. But the app is really nice, but yeah, you don't have to use the machine that they sent. You can send it back.
I'll figure it out, but didn't know if anyone else had those experiences.
A question for the group too. I've heard about these little tile things that you can put on keychains and such, so that when you're not sure where they are, it'll tell you on your phone. Anybody ever use anything like that? I have not.
What you're referring to, they're called AirTags, and they're used by people who don't even have like low vision. You can put them on your, like you said, your keys and stuff like that. And it's like a Find My Phone feature, but it's, you know, for the different individual AirTags.
There's also tiles though that are non-Apple version.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you folks like them? Do they work well?
I do use it. I use it for my keys. Before I had a key hook, I lost my keys on a consistent basis. And so now with a tile, I can kind of keep track of it. And it's crazy, its range. And for a tile, I think the only downfall of a tile is that eventually, obviously, if anything, the battery dies and you have to buy another one. I don't know the lifespan of the AirTag, so what lasts longer, but great investment, especially on kind of small things. I joke I'm going to put it on my dog, but it does a great job keeping track.
Hey, this is Ashley. I was just going to tell you that they do make a new tile that you can have put a replaceable battery in now. So you don't have to replace the whole thing anymore. And I also put one on my dog as well. It comes in pretty handy.
Right, yeah, perfect.
I know
what else
someone
do you tag?
Harry.
I know someone that put the tile on their mailbox. So when they're on their street, they can find their own house.
It's a good idea, especially if you just moved to a new place.
Hey, do you guys ever lose your phone?
Oh yeah, especially if you have an AirPod in.
I've come up with Alexa will call you. You know, if you just say call my number, and then your phone will ring. And then we also have a HomePod that's a Siri, you know, apparatus. And you can just say, find my phone, and it'll make this little dinging sound until you find it. But I guess the Apple Watch does that too. But anyway, if you don't have your watch on, then that works also.
How do you get Alexa to call your phone?
You just tell Alexa to call my phone. You just say, Cindy's iPhone. Yeah.
Great to know. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah,
when you answer, I'm always
we're
like,
still on recording or no?
We actually are still recording.
Still recording.
Like I can, and well, anybody can make with Google or Alexa if you set it up so it has access to your contacts. So yeah, you can just say, call my husband or whatever, and it's great.
Oh, that's awesome. You guys, time flies when you're having fun. It's 7:10 and I did not even pay attention to the time at all. I'm like, oh my gosh. I do want to turn off the, and someone's dialing over there if you don't mind. There we go. Perfect. I am going to turn the recording off really quick. But stay on, hang tight. Don't leave us. Hold on. I can't do two things at once.